1 Corinthians chapter 11, as we look forward to taking the Lord's Supper tonight, and we're near to concluding this study, and that's by design to try to time it out to where we concluded as such. We want to continue on where we left off Wednesday night and continue on with these scriptures here, and the Lord might speak to us about those things, about what the Lord's Supper is, and challenge our hearts about our situation before Him in it, and as we observe it. In considering about taking the Lord's Supper, and in this book, these epistles written to the church at Corinth, this church that's in Greece, this Gentile church, as we pointed out, the apostle is dealing with this church, and she has problems, but yet she is a church. And so, just as is the case, and all the churches mentioned in the Scripture, that because there's problems, there's strifes, there's things, there's blessings, there's promises from the Lord to overcome, there's all those mixed bag of things that are there, and they're written for our encouragement, written for our admonition, as the Scripture says, our encouragement to pursue and do well before the Lord. And that's the purpose of it. We love our children. And when they get out of line, we get on them. We don't get on them because we hate them. We get on them because we love them, and we want them to go a right way. We want them to go a good way, and a way that's pleasing before the Lord. None of us want to be, I trust, those that we that are saved and here in this church, none of us desire to be disobedient. We want to be pleasing. That's part of the Spirit living within us. But nevertheless, things happen and the world creeps in, and things, well, we don't try the spirits maybe as the Scripture says that we should, and we fall into different things. And so that's the reason that the Lord gives a Scripture to us to show us how that we should be and how we should walk with Him. In this first book to the Corinthians in chapter 5, let's take a look over here quickly. There's this admonition, and we're familiar with this. We just want to touch on it quickly and give you a point for consideration. But there's this point that the Lord comes to us together as a church, corporately, if you will, all of us together in that body that the Lord has joined together, where He's taken each member, fitly joined us together to nurture one another, to serve together, to follow Him, to fulfill that great commission that He's given, not to the world, not to save people, but given to His kind of New Testament, local New Testament Baptist church. He tells us we have a responsibility. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, we pick it up here, and he talks to them in verse 2, you're puffed up with this particular church, they've got issues, and he said, and the apostle says, you're puffed up, you need to deal with some things, it can be better than it is, and you've got problems, you need to straighten out those problems, and you've got some public things that are going on. He says in verse 6, your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? And he speaks to them together in this thing. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. And he makes this reference relative to the Lord, what He's done, how He saved us by the giving of Himself, by the breaking of His body, by the shedding of His blood. He makes that reference, even though they're Gentiles. Therefore, let us keep the feast. And I find that very interesting that he says it that way. Let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice, the leaven of wickedness, malice getting back for a wrong done to another, seeking the hurt of another that has hurt us. Malice needs to be no part of the Lord's church. Neither any kind of other wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. And not the world, not the philosophy of man, not the ceremony of the world, not any of those things, but sincerity and truth of the Lord. He spent a year and a half with these folks, preaching to them, the Lord saving them, the Lord adding them to the church. He wrote in verse number 9, I wrote unto you in an epistle, not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators world, or with the covetous, or with extortioners. He says fornication is a problem there, but I wrote to you about these other things that you could just plug in there in the same place. Covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, because then must ye needs go out of the world. He said, I'm not talking about your day-to-day life and where you go to work and where you go to school and your family that you deal with. I'm not talking about that. But Yet not altogether, verse 10, with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world. But now I have written unto you not to keep company, if any man that is called a brother be such of these, a fornicator, a covetous, an idolater, a railer, or a drunkard, an extortioner, with such an one, no, not to eat. And it's, he's speaking about the Lord's Supper. He's speaking about that fellowship that we have at the table of the Lord that we saw in our taking a look at chapter 10. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within? It said the church needs to take care of itself. There's a member that's behaving unsaved. That's the reason for it. Then they need to be separated from the body. That leaven needs to be taken out. But them that are without, God judgeth. Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person in their particular case. And all these things are wickedness. He goes over in chapter 6, and he says in verse number 8, Nay, you do wrong and defraud, and that your brethren. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? But be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, abusers of themselves with mankind, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. You used to be that way, but thank God you're not anymore because you've been saved. You've been touched by the Lord and you've been changed. And the indication, the connotations, don't go back to that. It need not be in our individual lives. It need not be in the church. But ye are washed. How? By the Word of God. But ye are sanctified, set apart. Ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus. Justification. The Lord Jesus Christ saying, He's not guilty, and He's never been guilty. That's the kind of justification that the Lord gives. Not a sponging of the record, but as if before God, before the Father, it never happened. Oh, what a wonderful thing that justification is. Justification is truly a test of a man's righteousness. If a man's righteousness is such that it is according to the Lord, he will be found justified. But if our righteousness is our own, there's no justification there. It is the Lord that justifies. We don't justify ourselves. And so, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus. And that's the point. That's the point of it all, that it's in the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God who sanctioned the work and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Lord speaks to us as a church, telling us, if you've got these things, need to deal with them. Need to deal with them such, just as we deal with our children in discipline. It needs to be such that they can be put out from the membership of the church, that leaven be purged out, because then God will take care of them. That umbrella of protection is not there, and they can be dealt with to either reveal that they are saved and bring them back, we trust, or to reveal that they are not saved. And then their need of salvation be manifested. And such it is that the Word of God, and taking the Word of God and abiding by the Word of God, it does reveal. It says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, the Word of God reveals our motive. And when we as a church take the Word of God and use it in a skillful way that's according to the Lord and what He says righteousness is, and we take it and apply it, the Lord will manifest further sin. I've heard of folks that have been disciplined from the Lord's churches, and then their sin just continues to magnify and abound. Well, yeah, they were put out, and so then they just went haywire. No! Well, you don't have a bit of the Scripture to back that up. It's so that those that are approved, and the contrary of that, those that are not approved, those that are not tried, will be shown forth. A manifestation of the truth is what God wants. And so we have this coming to us. Consider this. In this thing of these public things that are mentioned, when the Lord Jesus Christ instituted the Lord's Supper, He knew that there was an unbelieving thief and betrayer among them. He knew it, didn't He? He knew it. Did the church know it? No, not till later. But He knew it. But did that cause Him to refrain from instituting the supper? It did not. It did not. Because now there is this open thing that the Lord uses the Apostle Paul to instruct the church in. And then if there is not anything there, chapter 11, and where we're going to take it, and turn over to chapter 11, it brings us to, we saw the other night on Wednesday night how the Scripture bears out here in verses 17 through 19 that there's divisions because of heresy in this church. And if there is division, it's going to be because of heresy. That's the way that it's going to... If there's strife, it's going to be because of a not applying, not seeing the Word of God the way that it is. There's this despising of the Lord's church and shame that's mentioned here in verses 21 through 22. And then there's that correct order in verse number 23. For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you. You know, he goes on to say in chapter 15 that about the gospel. He says, the gospel I received is the same gospel I preached. That's the way it is with us. We receive the Word of God. We're taught by the teachers in the church. We're taught by the pastor of the church. We're taught by the fathers in our homes. Right? The fathers in our homes. The husbands in our homes teach us. Right? That's the way it should be. And the teaching that goes on, the ladies teach the children, those things that happen there, this teaching, we don't have anything that's fresh or new with us. All we have is what's been given to us, what's been taught to us from the Word of God and handed down to us from others. He said, I've given you what I've received, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. The same manner, after the same manner, he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup in the New Testament is the New Testament of in my blood. This is that covenant, if you will, set apart, sanctified, and approved and the earnest of it. I've made it in blood for you. It's for real. I'm not playing around. It's not a game. This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. And that's the purpose of it. And in verse number 26, it goes on to say, for as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. That's the purpose of it. Verse 27. This is where we are this morning. Wherefore, whosoever... Now it's coming down to individuals. He's talked to the church about this corporate thing, this group thing that needs to be dealt with. And if it exists, deal with it, church, because it'll be for the betterment. It'll be for the betterment of the individual. It'll be for the betterment of the church. The individual will be able to be put out there, and it'll be discerned of the Lord whether they are the Lord's or not. It'll be discerned of the Lord whether they need to straighten up and follow their Savior and this stand that the church takes or not. And then, because of that leaven being removed from the church will be better off for it, because there won't be this leaven within the body. These things that they're guilty of, that don't need to be named amongst the Lord's body. But now we come down to individuals. Wherefore, whosoever individuals shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily, shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Whosoever, individuals, men, women, boys and girls that have been saved and added to the Lord's church, whosoever, right down there in mine and your lap, right down there for us individually, if they'll drink and eat of this bread and drink this cup unworthily, what's that word unworthily mean? Well, it's interesting that it's only used in this passage here. There is a root word that's used over in chapter 6 and in verse number 2, and I'll read that to you. Or let's turn over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. There's a root. This root word is here of this word unworthily as used over in chapter 11. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 2, do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? Judge. That's the word. Judge. So the saints are going to be assigned of the Lord to stand in their place and to judge the world. God said it. I didn't. He said that it'll be. And he says, if that's the case, you need to take care of this stuff in the church. Back in chapter 11, he says, I'm sorry, there in chapter 6, verse 2. Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world, and if the world shall be judged by you, are you unworthy, I'm sorry, to judge the smallest matter? Unworthy is the root word. He says, Are you not qualified? Is it not meet? Is it not suitable that you be able to do so? If the Lord's put you in the church, you're qualified to discern between good and evil. You're qualified to go into the Word of God and with the situation at hand and see and pray and look into the Word of God prayerfully to see what the Lord says about a certain thing. He says back in chapter 11, if ye drink, eat, and drink unworthily, not suitably, not qualified, not tried, if you will, then one will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Unfit. He challenges them over in chapter 6. You ought to be able to discern things. He said in chapter 10, as we took a look here, in verse number 15, I speak as to wise men, judge ye what I say. You've got the Spirit of God living within. You've got the blessing of the work of the Comforter within because you're the Lord's children put in His church. You can know what the Scripture says. You can know it. And so he says here, whosoever individuals that eat of this bread, drink of this cup unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Guilty. What's this word guilty mean? Bound, under obligation, synonyms, in danger of, subject to. Let me give you some verses that talk about this same word guilty that are here in the Scripture. When the Lord was before the Sanhedrin and the high priest, they said, what think ye? They answered and said, he is guilty of death. Same word guilty. If we eat unworthily, we're guilty of the body and blood of Christ. If we go on and take a look here in this case, they were accusing the Lord of casting out demons and devils by the power of Satan. It's blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. In Mark chapter 3, but he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but is in danger, that's the word, of eternal damnation. If we eat unworthily, we're not meet, we're not suitable, we're not right, then we're guilty of the blood and body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Guilty. Here you go in James chapter 2. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. So there's this thing that if one eats unworthily, they're guilty of the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to go on to see what that means. Guilty. It's as if you will, to what I see in it, that it becomes a thing of being guilty of physically taking Jesus and putting him on the cross. Those that, and we'll see this as we go on, but those that were there in that day, the Scripture tells us in Matthew chapter 27, Judas said this. He said, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. When he came back through the money back in the temple before those that had bribed him to go ahead and betray the Lord. He said, I'm guilty of this innocent, and I'm guilty. I'm saying I've sinned and that I've betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that. He was guilty of betraying the Lord unto death. It was criminal what he had done. He was guilty of having done it. And we go on and we take a look further in the Scripture in Acts, how the apostle preaches and he says, him, Jesus Christ, being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. You did the deed. You did it. You're guilty of it. You physically took Jesus and you took him and put him on that cross. And he was innocent. He was innocent. They said, do you all plan to take and lay this man's blood to our charge, to lay it at our feet? Because they were guilty legally before men and before the Roman government and before the Lord. In Acts chapter 5, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, the apostle preaches, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. I believe that's Stephen that's preaching. You hung him on the tree. You did it. You did it. You're guilty of it. Matthew chapter 27. And then answered all the people and said, as they had the Lord there, and Pilate brought him out, said, his blood be on us and on our children. They were guilty of taking the Lord physically and charging him and were the cause of him being put to death that day. Yet God had ordained it, but wicked men took the Son of Glory and crucified him. They did what they wanted to do with him. It seems that it's talking about it in that way. Because the thing is, who of us is worthy? See, we need that vicarious death of the Lord. We need that sacrifice of Him. It's not talking about us being sinners needing the Savior. But it's talking about having gone out and grabbed Him, having gone out and betrayed Him, having gone out and taken money like Judas did to betray the Lord that way. That was in and of itself criminal. And so our sin is there, and we need the Lord as Savior. We need His atonement. And in that sense, our sin did put Him there, but we didn't go roust Him out that day and do the deed, if you understand what it was saying. And that's what it seems like it's talking about. And we'll go on and see that. Who's worthy? Well, in and of ourselves, none of us is worthy. None of us is worthy at all. In Ephesians, to the praise, it says in Ephesians chapter 1, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the beloved. He made me, He made you that He saved, accepted before the Lord. But now in Christ Jesus, it goes on to say in Ephesians 2, ye who were sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. So in the forgiveness of sins, my sins did put Him there. And if I'd have been there, I'd have done the same thing. But whoever takes of that cup and whoever takes of that bread, not fit to take it, unworthily, brings upon them the judgment and the damnation of, we're going to see, not discerning the Lord's body. And that's what it's all about. It goes on to say in Revelation and in chapter 12, they overcame Him, Satan, and the world system, and the beast, and all those, by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Who is it that's worthy? None of us are worthy. We've been made such. We've been able to approach the throne of grace because of Jesus Christ. But if one will take and partake of the supper in a wrong way, then there's some things there that stand before him. Verse 28. 1 Corinthians 11:28. If one takes unworthily, they'll be guilty of the body. They'll be guilty of the blood. Verse 28. But don't go there, he says. Don't be in that shape. But let a man examine who? One another. No, himself. Let him examine himself. It's coming down to right reality time. Right down here at our address. Right down here at our soul. Right down here at our salvation and faith before the Lord. The Lord touching us. Let a man examine himself. And so let him eat. And so let him eat of that bread. And so let him drink of that cup. This examination, this examine himself, this word examine here, means to prove, to try, to approve, to discern, to allow, to examine. Scriptures that describe such, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, the Scripture says, prove all things. And the good stuff that you find, hold fast to it. See? Try it. Try it to see what's right. See what God says is right. See what God says is wrong. And hang on to the good stuff. Hang on to the right stuff. Let a man prove himself. In 1 John chapter 4, we studied this some time ago. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits. Prove them. What? Whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are going out into the world giving out this false doctrine and giving out these false spirits. Try them. Prove them. And so let a man prove himself. Let a woman, let a boy, let a girl that the Lord saved and He's put in the church, let them examine. Let them prove. Let them try themselves. Let them introspection. And to be circumspect before the Lord. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread. The Lord says, do it. Do it. Come and partake. Get right. Come and do it. Because there's a blessing in it. There's a blessing in remembering my death till I come. I've given it for you. The Lord said, with great desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you. To to do the to observe the Passover with his children, with those in his church, with his disciples, and to institute his supper. He knew those things. It's all part and parcel of the deal with him. He enjoyed that. He looked forward to that. And he says here, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread, and so let him drink of that cup. Verse 29. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, there's that word again, there's that same word that we saw in that previous verse, in verse number 27, unfit, not right, not discerning the Lord's body, as we're going to see. For he that eateth unworthily and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself. This word damnation, synonyms for that, judgment, damnation, condemnation, to be condemned, to avenge. Usage of the word in Matthew chapter 23, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses and for pretense make long prayer, therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. Same word. Same word as that, as what's used there in verse number 29, drinking damnation, eating damnation to oneself, if one eateth and drinketh unworthily. It goes on. And there's things here where the thief on the cross with the Lord in Luke chapter 23 says, but the other rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? I mean, the Son of Glory is hanging on the cross, and this man understands that he is innocent. He understands himself as guilty. He understands the other guy's guilty. And he said, and we're all hearing the same thing, and you're railing on him? He said, you're in the same condemnation. You're in the same judgment. The Apostle Paul, when he preached to Felix, he reasoned of righteousness, of temperance, of judgment to come. Felix trembled and answered, said, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. Judgment. Judgment. Same word as damnation. And so if one eats that bread and drinks of that cup unworthily, they drink damnation to themselves. Condemnation of God upon them. It is serious. It's not a light thing. In Romans, and the apostle speaking about the authority of the law and answering to the higher powers, whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. You disobey the law, the officer will come get you, take you to the clink. And then you'll stand before the judge, you give an answer for the judge, and you might do time, you might pay a fine. Damnation, condemnation before the authorities. And in 1 Peter chapter 4, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? Judgment. So there, where it says, but let a man examine himself, and let him so eat, and let him so drink. And he that eateth and drinketh not fit, unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And this thing of discernment is the key. This is the point that is really at the heart of this thing. And what does it mean? What does it mean to discern? What does it mean to discern the Lord's body? Looking on at the body of Jesus Christ, if you will, the discernment of His body, what is the purpose of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ? That is what the key is. Let a man examine himself. Let him eat. Let him drink. Let him not do so unworthily, so he won't drink that damnation to himself, because he doesn't discern the Lord's body. Discerning. What's it mean to discern? Well, synonyms for it are doubt, judge, discern, contend, waver, and some other miscellaneous meanings. Here's how the Lord says it and uses this word in Matthew. In Matthew 16. And in the morning, if it be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering, O ye hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. He says you can tell when it's going to rain. You can tell when it's going to be clear. But over here in 1 Corinthians, he says you can't tell what the Lord's body is all about. If you can't tell and you can't discern what his body is about, then you're in jeopardy of drinking this damnation and condemnation to yourselves. In Acts, the Lord tells Peter, the Apostle Peter, arise therefore and get thee down and go with them, doubting. Saying it's a synonym for discerning over there in 1 Corinthians 11, where we're at. He says, don't doubt, don't reckon it in your mind and get it wrong. And he says, the Lord's saying, I'm telling you to go. Don't doubt the way that it is. Don't doubt when these Gentiles come to get you. But understand, it's of me. It's what I want it to be. Don't doubt about it. Don't doubt about the body of the Lord Jesus Christ and its purpose. What is the purpose of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ? That's where the heart of the matter is. In Romans chapter 4, it's talking about Abraham. It said, he staggered. There's that synonym again for discernment. He staggered not. It's to the positive, at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. He discerned what the promise of God, and he says, that's not impossible, because God said he would bring it to pass. He discerned it correctly, rather than doubting about it in his own wisdom, in his own heart, in his own mind, in the way of the world. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, in this same passage, if we go on down here to verse number 31, for if we would judge, synonym for discerning, synonym for that word, discerning, in verse number 29. It's the same word. If we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. If you and I, as the Lord's children in His church, will take care of our own knitting, then it won't be that the Lord will have to take care of us. It won't be that the church will have to take care of us. We'll be taking care of ourselves before the Lord. And we'll have peace and blessing because of it. Discernment of the Lord's body. So if a one eats unworthily, and this unworthiness is because of their lack of discernment about the body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, then how is it that the body can be misdiscerned, misunderstood about the purpose of the body? Let's take a look at some examples. Who did not discern the body of the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, it says in Hebrews, I asked you that question. It says in Hebrews chapter 10, wherefore, when he cometh into the world, speaking of Jesus, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. That body made by the Lord, that body born, the Spirit of God coming upon Mary and conceiving within her that holy thing, the Lord Jesus Christ, so he could be born into this world. He made a body so he could come and die. He made a body so he could come and give himself a sacrifice. God cannot die, but he made a way so he could. So that body could be given for us, be given for those that would believe, those that the Father had given to him, those that he would come and save. That's the reason that God the Son stepped down from his throne in glory and became a man for sinners. Wicked, hell-bent, hell-deserving sinners like you and me, God came down and became a man. And being the King of glory, submitted himself to the creation, made himself submissive to a mother and a stepfather, made himself submissive to the other authority, the authority in the synagogue, the authority in the temple. He made himself submit. He set aside his glory for that time, whatever time that it is, from the time, seems like from the when the before the world began, from time when time started, the Lord had submitted himself to come and die for you and me. A body hast thou. Who didn't discern the Lord Jesus Christ's body? The Pharisees didn't, did they? They didn't discern it. Look at him. He can't be a prophet. Look at him. He can't be a prophet out of Galilee, much less the Messiah. They didn't discern the Lord's body, did they? The Sadducees, they didn't, did they? The lawyers, they didn't discern the Lord's body. Jesus of Nazareth? Shall any prophet come out of Galilee? They didn't discern the Lord's body, did they? The scribes, they did not discern the Lord's body, did they? No. They didn't see the purpose for it. Did Pilate discern the Lord's body? The Lord, in a dream, spoke to his wife and gave a warning, but he did not discern the Lord's body. Jesus of Nazareth was just a political tool to get himself out of hot water with the people, with Herod. Pilate submitted to public opinion. What's that sound like? Well, it sounds like a lot of what we see today, isn't it? Amen. Pilate didn't discern the Lord's body. Behold your king, as he mocked. As they mocked the Lord Jesus Christ come down from glory for us. Did Herod discern the Lord's body? Herod? Did he discern the Lord's body? He wanted to see a miracle. He was ready for the magic show. But the Lord answered him not a word. Did Judas discern the Lord's body? He did not. He thought that he could betray the Lord, saying, this gig is up. This is a chance for me to jump out of here, make a little bit of money, because this thing's going to shut down. They're going to put him out of business, and it'll be done. Judas didn't think that they'd take him and kill him. Oh, but when he saw that they were going to take him and kill him, what did he do? He came back and threw the money because of his guilty conscience. He repented him because he got caught. And much it is that way with sin today. Folks are sorry. We're sorry when we get caught. And then what did he do? Did he repent and discern the Lord's body? No. He got caught. He was out of roads. He was out of options. He was out of extortion opportunities. He went out and hung himself. And has been burning in hell today. He did not discern the Lord's body. You know, those that cried, his blood be upon us and on our children, they didn't discern the Lord's body, did they? No, they did not. Oh, me. Does Satan discern the Lord's body? Satan does not discern the Lord's body. He went about and tempted him. He went about trying to kill him. Satan is in God's kingdom. He should be subject to God, but he is against God. He should honor the King's Son. He should honor the Father's Son, just like every bit of the creation. How is it with the model prayer? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. All the creation should submit to God and to His Son. But Satan doesn't discern the body of the Lord either, does he? Oh, but the Apostle John did, didn't he? Take a look over here in 1 John chapter 1. Look at the discernment that John has for the Lord's body. You've read this, I know. I trust that in this context it might help us out to see it more, see what John is speaking about. Discernment of the Lord's body. That which is from the beginning. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard. That which is from the beginning, which we have seen with our eyes. That which was from the beginning, which we have looked upon. That which is from the beginning, and our hands have handled. The Word of life. The Word of life. Now, you think he's talking about a thing. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. The old Apostle John, he discerned the Lord's body, didn't he? Amen, he did. He discerned the Lord's body. He discerned the purpose of the Lord's body. He discerned what the Lord came to do. Discerning the Lord's body is knowing the purpose of which His body was broken and the purpose for which His blood was shed. Taking the Lord's Supper for these reasons is not discerning the Lord's body. You're not discerning the Lord's body if you take the Lord's Supper to fake yourself into being part of the church. You're not discerning the Lord's body if you take of the Lord's Supper to pay for your sins. We're not discerning the Lord's body if we take the Lord's Supper to gain forgiveness for our sins. It's not the purpose of it. We're not discerning the Lord's body correctly if we take the Lord's Supper to make us feel religious. That's not the purpose of it. We're not discerning the Lord's body if we take the Lord's Supper to make us accepted before God, a sacrament, obtaining grace of God. That's not the purpose of the Lord's Supper. If we take the Lord's Supper and we fail to discern the Lord's body, and we think that, well, Jesus is nothing and the Lord's Supper means nothing, that's the way Judas did it. Yeah, okay, I'll eat it. Okay, yeah, I'll drink it. Because it seems like he was there. Scripture bears that out. If we don't discern the Lord's body correctly, we take a position that maybe that this is the way that we really partake of Christ, transubstantiation, that the bread becomes the real body and the blood becomes the real blood of the Lord. That's not discerning the Lord's body. He died once. And that's all he needed to die. And he lives forevermore. He's risen and lives forevermore. We don't discern the Lord's body if we take the Lord's Supper thinking that it's some humorous or some funny thing. We don't discern the Lord's body correctly. We don't discern the Lord's body correctly if we take the Lord's Supper to complete salvation. That's not it. That's not what it is for. If I eat it, if I take it, great. If I don't take it, great. We don't discern the Lord's body. You know what? If we don't discern the Lord's church, we may not be discerning the Lord's body right either. What His church is, the purpose of His church, how the church is constructed, how the Lord has built her. We may not be discerning it then. Well, some might say, well, I'm just not going to take it. That'll be the safe point. The Lord says, be right before Him, and so let a man eat. He wants us to take it. He tells us to take it. So we go here in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. But let a man, verse 28, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, not fit, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body, not understanding the purpose of the Lord's body, that the Lord's body was given for our sins, that He died so that I won't have to die again, and that His blood was shed to take and wash my sins away. And if you're here this morning and saved, to take and wash your sins away, to remove them from you as far as the east is from the west. That is the reason for the Lord's body. That is the proper discernment for the Lord's body. He said it, as it says up here in verses 24 and 25, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this, remembering me. He says, take this cup and drink it and remember me dying for you. But let a man examine himself, verse 28, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation, condemnation of God to himself, as others, as Judas did, and as those here at Corinth have done, it's going to be made manifest, not discerning the Lord's body. You know, those in Jude, the book of Jude, turn over there real quick. Those in the book of Jude, they don't discern the Lord's body, do they? Listen to what Jude, the Lord's half-brother, has to say. In Jude, verse number 4, verse number 3, he says, contend for that faith that was once delivered to you. Verse 4, because there are certain men crept in unawares, verse 4, who were foreordained of this of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the Lord, the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, remember those that the Lord delivered out of Egypt that didn't believe God. We studied that. We saw that in chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians. He said they were destroyed. The angels that did not believe God, they were destroyed. Sodom and Gomorrah, those that sinned against God, they were destroyed. Filthy dreamers in verse number 8 that defile the flesh. And look at Michael the archangel in verse 9 as he contends for the body of Moses. He doesn't say, "Get out of here, Satan. This is none of your affair." But he says, "The Lord rebuke you." But these, verse 10, speak evil of those things which they know not. Woe unto them, verse 11, for they've gone after the way of Cain. They've ran greedily after the error of Balaam and perished, what? In the gainsaying of Korah. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we saw it. We saw it. These, listen folks, verse 12, these are spots in your feasts of charity. They don't discern the Lord's body. When they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, they don't discern the Lord's body. Feeding themselves without fear, clouds they are without water. They're vain, they're empty. Carried about of winds, because they have no weight. Trees whose fruit withereth without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, the fruit of the Spirit. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame. Wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Enoch goes on to say about these complainers and murmurers and those that are against God, all their ungodliness, verse number 15. They don't discern the Lord's body. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we are admonished, let us discern the Lord's body. Let a man examine himself and put sin out of his life so the church won't have to, so the Lord won't have to. And come eat. Let a man examine himself, verse 28. 1 Corinthians 11, 28. And so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And because of this lack of discernment, many are weak. Many are infirmed and feeble. Many are infirmed and feeble. Because of this lack of discernment amongst the body. Many are spiritually weak. John writes in the third epistle, he says, "Beloved, I wish that of all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers." The one that he wrote to, he says, "The condition of your soul is what I want for you physically." How would that be for us? If that were the case, if we physically prospered to the extent that our soul prospered before the Lord. He says, many of you are sickly. Sickly. Sick, without strength, weak. And many of you sleep. Have died. In John chapter 11, the Lord says to His disciples, "These things said He, in regards to Lazarus, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth," same word. "But I go that I may awake him out of sleep." Then said the disciples, "Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well." Howbeit, Jesus spake of his death, that they thought that he had spoken of taking rest in sleep. Then said Jesus to them plainly, "Lazarus is dead." Many have died. Partaking of the Lord's Supper, being in an unworthy condition, not discerning the purpose, not discerning the Lord's body, not discerning the purpose of the supper. And it's made them weak, it's made them sick, or the Lord has. Or many of them, the Lord has called home. Some, the Lord has called home. Serious it is, and grave it is. To you that are here this morning and not saved, this hasn't necessarily been a message to you. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the Scripture says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein you stand." It's the gospel's where it starts. Jesus Christ and the salvation of sinners, by which ye also are saved, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you've believed in vain. Was the good news of the gospel of Christ a fleeting thing? Or was it for real? For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. There it is again. I'm giving out what I've got, what I've been taught. How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. That's what He came to do. To die for our sins. To die for His people's sins. And that He was buried. And that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And over here, as the apostle starts this same book that we've been studying in about this Lord's Supper, he says in chapter 1, verse number 18, he says, "For the preaching of the cross, the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, the burden that the Lord came having for His people and having for sinners, and that He gave His life and shed His blood, the purpose for which He came, this preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness." It's foolishness. "But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." Discernment of the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I heard an account the other day of a man that was at a meeting. And the preaching went on at the meeting, and one brother felt led of the Lord, I trust, to preach the gospel at a Bible conference. And this brother said, "Why is it that he took that valuable time in that meeting and preached the gospel? Why is it that he would... There's so many other things that could be preached. So many other things that that time could be used for." And he said he preached the gospel. And then he got back in his room. He got back there by himself. And he pulled his Bible out and was reading and read, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness." And he said, "Woe is me. Woe is me." And the Lord took that and used that to show him that he was a professor and not a possessor. Because, "But unto us which are saved, the gospel is the power of God." You know, it's a second man that I've heard of that's made that thing. There's another brother up there in the east side of St. Louis over in Illinois. He had the testimony for years. He says, "Why is it that our pastor is always preaching to us like we're not saved? Why is it that he's always preaching, the brother's always preaching the gospel to us? We need to move on and learn something else." And there's an element in that that's true. But that was this brother's gripe. Till he found out and the Lord visited him and said, "Archie, you need me." And now he loves hearing the gospel. He loves hearing about the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if that's what's preached, he eats it up and loves it. Both of these brothers that way. You know, that's the way it was with me. I had good Baptist religion. Till one day, I heard the preaching of Jesus for this sinner's sins. And the Lord saved my soul. Discerning the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, you need Jesus. We that are saved, we need to discern the Lord's body. We need to put sin out of our lives. And we need to come and meet together and so eat. So partake of that bread and so partake of that cup.